First Baptist Church of Redmond, September 3rd, 2017. Know Jesus knows what is needed.
Please stand and join me in reading today's scripture. Luke 10:41-42. And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Thank you. Please be seated.
I like that poster from last Sunday, so I left it up, because this story, I don't know if chronologically it fits with where we're at in the life of Jesus. Sometimes Luke's book is not chronological in order. It's logical in order. So after talking about the Good Samaritan, Luke is writing down an occasion of a story where he went to see these two ladies. If you look at these two ladies, this is not an accidental story. It's not like all of a sudden he showed up in town. I'm pretty sure that, you know, if you've been looking at other passages, Jesus has been sending some advanced people going here and going there, making sure there's a place. I'm sure this was not a surprise that Jesus needed a place to stay, and it was already taken care of. You know, sometimes we do things because we really want to, but it's not what you need. Have you ever got a present that was nice from somebody, but it was not what you needed at all? Ever had that happen? Want to tell us about it? Share me one. Go ahead. You want to share one? If not, that's okay. So something is, maybe you're sitting next to the person who gave it to you. Oh, go ahead. Okay, go ahead. Something you got that you didn't need, if you want to tell the story. Okay, go ahead. Hmm.
And it was very decorative and very beautiful, but very not needed.
I'm always uncertain. Maybe that's too extreme. I'm often uncertain if I give a gift to somebody that I know that I'm giving them something that they like. Because I know oftentimes if I give something to someone, maybe I'm like you, I'm not as good at this. I give them something that I wish I had. But for them, they say, I'm glad you like that. I'll just give it back to you as a gift because that's not really what I like. So I'm always nervous about that. Sometimes we give the exact wrong thing. Somebody needed a watch the other day, and I dug around in my things and gave them a watch that was exactly what they did not want. And so they were smart enough to take care of replacing it. Our story of Mary and Martha, this is that kind of a thing with like giving somebody a watch. Is Jesus wanted something and Martha wanted to give him what she thought Jesus wanted. But she did not give Jesus what he wanted. She gave Jesus what she wanted. Lots of times, if you're going to go see someone or do something with someone, again, so often what they do is they know what is most important to them. I've done this before. It's most important to me. So if I'm going to honor you, I'm going to give you something that is important to me, even though it is not important to you at all. And that can make for awkwardly social situations. In your Bible, Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42, these little verses. Again, the way Luke writes it, it's a little more haphazard. But in other Gospels, when you look at them, you can see this is a planned event. If you remember, beginning in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, Jesus is now changing his progress. He had been mostly ministering his time, almost 2 years of time, in Galilee around where he had grown up. But now he is changing and intentionally going to start working more in Judea, in Jerusalem, around the Jordan River. He's going to be working mostly in the south. He's still got to poke his head up in the north some, but this is called the Perean ministry, because that area farther south is where he's heading. So as Jesus is heading down south, we're going to know that this lady Martha, who's a certain woman with all these, they lived in Bethany. And so I've got that little picture up there. If you look at the picture on the left, you'll see Jerusalem and then the Temple Mount. And if you went down through a little valley and began to ascend again, you would see there would be a little winding path on the north side of the Mount of Olives that people would frequently travel on. You can see the Garden of Gethsemane is immediately across from the temple. But if you were around the Mount of Olives and went to the east side, you would find the smaller community of Bethany. Mary, Martha, Lazarus, this is where they were from. So, again, I'm very confident from Jesus' habits and the way other things have described it in other Gospels that Jesus had intended to come over and spend time with Mary and Martha's family. And again, you've got Lazarus is here in the picture as well, but he is not involved in the story, so he's not mentioned. So they go over to the house, and if you have somebody over, people can be very, very careful. May want to have the right china, the right glassware, the right this, the right that. And I appreciate that. If someone comes over, they know I like something, so they put them out for me to eat, and I appreciate those kinds of things. Diet Peach Snapple, I'm back into that again now. So I appreciate when I find that someplace out for me to get. So notice there was that certain woman named Martha who welcomed him into her house. I wouldn't read a whole lot into this. Some people will speculate that Martha's the oldest one, but sometimes you'll see Martha and Mary, sometimes Mary and Martha. I don't think there's significance with that. The whole point is Jesus was coming to her house. He was coming to her house as a guest. And Martha, as so many people, seems to have wanted to make sure she did everything the right way. So Jesus, as he's traveling to Jerusalem in the last year of his life, if you'll recall, as we're trying to guess the timing on this, it's around this time of the year. It's around September, maybe October of the last fall before Jesus was crucified in the following spring. So Jesus is now focused on, he has sent out the 12, he has sent out the 70. He's making sure that people are familiar with him and his message. Essentially, before he gets to them, he's winding his way across, he's going down, he's ultimately going to go a little bit south, going to come back up. But he's wanting to make sure people hear him talk so that they can have a clearer understanding of what God is like, that God loves them, that God has a message for them, and that God has a way for them to get to heaven. So up until this point in the story, everything is going along to Martha's plan. Jesus is coming, she's got things ready, and all of a sudden Jesus comes. Some people think Jesus came by himself. I don't think that's the case. I think if we look at this passage, we'll see, you know, the idea is that as they, first verse, verse 38, went. So I think Jesus is traveling with his normal entourage. It was his normal group of 20. If you know there were some other people who would be in the group, there would be some women in there. So there's very likely a good two dozen people that are traveling with Jesus. And so to receive him as a guest in your home, most of those people would be staying there, or you might have some other people stay in some friends and relatives' house. But this is like a little dinner party. She's got a group of people there, so it took some prep. And Martha seems to be very, very proud of the prep that she was doing and making sure that Jesus felt welcome. And that's the essence. Jesus, I want you to feel welcome here in my family's house. I bet that Mary was helping Martha up until this point. Because if you're in the family and somebody's going to come, you know, you're not just going to sit around and read Jerusalem Today while everybody else is scurrying. So I'll bet Martha and Mary together had been preparing for this moment. Food, snacks, clean seats, spot for animals, get a foot washer at the door. All these things are going along. However, as Jesus shows up, things changed. And now, when Jesus came in, and again, they're not sitting in a chair. They're sitting like on cushions or on mats or just on the floor, perhaps likely on a rug, not a dirt floor. Some of them had a wood floor that they would lay over their dirt. Jesus is sitting there, and he's beginning to talk. Why? This is why he came. He's redirected all the words and things that he had done in Galilee. Now he's coming down to the southern area so that people can hear the message that God has for them. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. So Jesus is talking on this theme. And Jesus was intrinsically a good speaker. He had good subjects to discuss. He talked about life and death. He would talk about family and friends. He would talk about concrete ways that people could be considerate and help each other. And Mary, as she heard these words, can I tell you, you can do the dishes any day. Mary told you that. You can fold the laundry any day. You can put the socks and roll them up any day. The knaps, you can work on a better section of them tomorrow. But Jesus is in your house sitting down and talking. This doesn't happen every day. And so Mary stopped and sat down. And the Bible says literally she just sat where Jesus was next to him. Sitting at his feet, she's right there. She's front row. She didn't hang around the back, not standing over here. She's not listening from the kitchen area. She's front and center. And Jesus is talking. Later on, John chapter 12, verse 3 records her. This is the Mary, I believe, that washed Jesus' feet with her hair. So she really listened to, absorbed, and became a believer. You can tell from the way that she responded, her repentance. Now, Martha did not stop what she was doing and sit at Jesus' feet when he began to talk. And this is the point of our story. Martha did not do what Mary did. If you take a look there, verse 40, Martha was distracted. Have you ever seen those same little toys that kids have sometimes, and they're designed to pull and stretch and deform and things like that? If you have Silly Putty, you can do anything with Silly Putty. I almost, as a kid, hated to play with Silly Putty because I'd mess it up, because we had carpeted floors. And one of the things on the commercial was you could take Silly Putty, roll it up, and hit it. But we had carpeted floors, so if I put it down, I had that carpet stuff, and it was no good. But I loved to get the lightest color Silly Putty, because what I enjoyed was I've always liked the funnies. I still like the funnies today. I get Sunday paper, I'll crack it open, and I'm like Ronald Reagan, the first thing I do is I look at the funnies. Excuse me. So I take the Silly Putty I laid out, and I would copy the image from the newsprint. You ever did that? That's my number one thing to do with Silly Putty. Is I didn't so much make things with it as I copied with it. That was just kind of neat. Look at it. Sorry, I've got some kind of allergy. My cold is gone. Sorry about that. So I would do that time, and I really enjoyed that. That was super. But the idea was you'd get that, you roll it up, and then you'd stretch it to fit. Our word for distracted is good to describe someone who perhaps has the feelings of our modern age. Because it's the idea of someone who is pulled in every direction to the breaking point. So if you have somebody over for dinner that you're concerned about, you're worried about what kinds of things? You're worried about room for everybody, the food, do I have enough place settings, what are the neighbors going to say, how much noise are they going to make? I have coffee with me, but thank you very much. I'll take this too. I'll leave it here as a matter. I'll take this too. I appreciate it. But she has everything going on in your mind. You ever had that? I have that on occasion. Everything is going on. I have to carve out a little spot of everything in my mind because I can get it done. But I have no time for error, no time for mistake, no time for comfort right now. That will come later. I tell people, you can always sleep tomorrow, but today you've got to get these things done. And this is where Martha's mind was. Jesus is in her house. But this is not really what she is worried about. She is worried about everything else besides the words that are coming out of Jesus' mouth. Wouldn't it be nice to have just an audio recording of Jesus talking, what his voice sounded like? Did he have intonation? Did he have an accent? This is where she was. Now, can I say I'm going to cut Martha some slack because some people don't do this? She, in her mind, and her body is serving Jesus. Jesus is coming to her house. She appreciated him. She let him in. She was doing everything she could. She wanted to serve Jesus, and she was serving elaborately. Martha was doing what she wanted to, and she believed that Jesus would be pleased with what she was giving him. And you know, as I said, there are some things we want to do, and if somebody comes over, you want to give them your best, or you want to give them what is your favorite. It's why we started doing fudge all those years ago, is that fudge is good, and make it. And believe it or not, there's some people who don't like chocolate. And there's some people who shouldn't be eating chocolate. Yeah, that's most of us now, right? But you give somebody something because it's your favorite and your best. My favorite story is years ago we were at a convention and heard about an attorney who was a Christian attorney, good man, didn't have a lot of the extra things attorneys have, but he loved ink pens. And so for his business partner, who he got along with great, it was his birthday, he went down and bought him a $1,000 ink pen. And, you know, a really nice one. So he gave it to the guy for his birthday. Thank you very much. The attorney he received was named Charles Craze. That's a great name for an attorney, isn't it, Craze? And the guy took this pen and did what he always does with his pens. He stirred his coffee with his pen. And he says, "What are you doing?" He says, "Well, I always stir my coffee with my pen." And he said, "Don't you realize it's a $1,000 pen? Don't you all these?" And the guy stopped him and says, "Do you want this back? Because I stir coffee with my pen. If this is my pen, I'm going to stir my coffee with it." So Martha gave Jesus what was important to her and what she wanted, but it was not what Jesus wanted from her. Martha, what Martha was doing was Martha was being polite, but Martha was also being a little bit firm. If you take a look there, Martha was distracted with much serving, and I don't think she interrupted anything. Jesus is talking, and we don't know this. We don't know what he talked about. We don't know how interactive it was. In this kind of a setting, there's probably a little bit of interaction, but mostly Jesus is talking. And Martha's scurrying around, and whether she's got the gefilte fish balls were a little soft or whatever was going on, she really needed help. And so she waited for there to be a break in the action, for Jesus to pause and take a breath. And then she walked up, and this is not screaming across the room, "Lord, don't you care?" No, I don't think so. I think she walked up to Jesus, and probably there's eye contact with her sister going on, because Martha walks in and everybody looks at her. "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." So this is what she's doing. She says, "I am done with this not going according to plan. Mary had understood you were coming and that there was a lot of things we were going to go on. We're going to preserve and do a lot of stuff. And so, Jesus, don't you realize that I want to give you and your friends the best experience that you can have, and I need Mary's help to do that. Can you please tell Mary to stop listening to your words and come with me in the kitchen?" Now, I'm sure she didn't think about what she had just said, because Jesus had left heaven where angels are flying around him, singing his praises and hearing honor, because, you know, God deserves honor and glory, listening to prayer, responding to these kinds of things. He'd left heaven just so he could come down and for a little while sit in people's living rooms and talk, okay, or feel babies or whatever they're doing. But Jesus had left heaven to come and do this. And this lady comes up and says, "Jesus, this lady who's listening to you, who's getting these words of life, who's later going to really get arrested, and, you know, my sister's going to repent of her sin and show her appreciation for it and show her repents. I need her in the kitchen folding napkins." So she was giving to Jesus what she wanted, but that's not what Jesus wanted most. So again, this thing about approach is that she walked in, but she, you know, but she was doing it respectfully, I'm pretty sure. She's getting frustrated. And you ever done anything getting frustrated? And you can get frustrated at church, can't you? Don't people realize it needs to be done this way? And this is where Martha's at. So Jesus looks at her. See, there's a more modern portrayal of this. And he repeats her name. And I don't know if he's shaking his head. There's no video. But very likely, in the middle of talking and chatting and having a little Bible study time, Martha comes in. "Mary needs to come help me in the kitchen. She needs to stop listening to you, Lord of glory, Master Jesus, who's come as the light of the world. She needs to stop listening to you. There's better things for her to do than to sit at your feet and listen." Again, she's putting herself in Jesus' shoes. And I think she misunderstood. She misunderstood that everything that comes out of Jesus' mouth is important. And they're not as important, her things are not as important. And didn't Jesus say earlier in Mark 10:45, for the Son of Man did not what come to be served, but to serve? So he's not that worried if his coffee is a little cool. He's not that worried if his drink isn't stirred. He's not that worried if there's not enough flour on the outside of the fried fish that perhaps was served to him. That wasn't the issue. He's not there to be treated like a VIP. He says, you've got yourself worked up. You are worried and troubled. Here's the point. When I read some things about this story, what you have is Martha, who is working very hard. Why is she working hard? Because she thinks that that's what Jesus wants, will honor him. So she's got zeal in the wrong area, and she's working very hard. So a lot of people will actually praise her for not being around Jesus while he's talking and working so hard in the kitchen. They'll say what she should have done is come out once in a while and hear, and then go back in and cook more. But that's not the point of our story, I think. I think the point of the story is not really to praise her hard work. She had zeal without understanding, and that's still not worthy of praise here. She's doing the wrong thing very hard. So sometimes we might commend people here because we want to encourage them, but Jesus is not doing this. Notice how Jesus is very central with this. Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one. One thing is needed. Jesus goes out of his way to say, I don't care if you have a vegetable with the fish. I don't care that everything is on the same color hue. I'm not worried if the plates are, laid out properly on the table. There's one thing needed, and Mary has chosen that good part. These are the same thing, the word. Jesus says, one thing is important, and that is for you to listen to the words that I am saying. That's why I'm here. I'm not here because God wanted me to stay in the Jerusalem Hilton. I'm not staying here because God wanted me to experience whatever things he experienced that were gifts from people. He says, I came to minister the word. And Mary, bless her heart, caught that. She chose this above all other things. I need to be paying attention to Jesus, because that's what this is about. This is about Jesus. This is about hearing Jesus, meeting him, understanding the truth that he has. Jesus is the means to the Father. Jesus is the gateway to God. Jesus is the fountain of God's blessings for the future. I need to sit and stop and absorb all of this. And I want you to notice Jesus goes out of his way to point. Mary has chosen. It wasn't an accident. Mary didn't forget to help you in the kitchen. Mary didn't mistakenly realize that the napkins were not folded. She knew all of this. But when she heard me talk, she stopped and she came over and sat down and she chose to listen to me first. Because for us, there's a lot of other things we can do than listen to Jesus or do the things God expects for us. And they're perfectly good things to do. If you're like me, there's some things downstairs I've been slowly cleaning up. I'll be doing more of that tomorrow. Things organizing, things whatever. But what's most important? These things can go and, forgive me if you're a mom that tells your kids to pick up their socks off the floor, but some things can wait. Now, can I tell you, Jesus is probably not coming to your house today, so kids, don't try this on mom. Oh, mom, Jesus might be coming over. I'll leave my socks and watch for Jesus. Ain't happening. So, there's no real good in Martha being agitated and upset that she's not getting to do what she wants.
The good thing is that she does love Jesus, and that's why he's there. That's why she's doing these kinds of things. We can imagine them, both Mary and Martha. Hopefully, Martha gets the idea right now because she's a smart woman and has heard Jesus in a nice way arrest her attention and say, what you're doing is nice, but that's not really why I'm here. So hopefully Martha found a little spot where she could sit down as well and join her sister listening. Then hopefully when Jesus had done talking, then there was time to get up and do the dishes and take care of the leftovers. And oh, we know that Matthew Levi likes these most. We'll put them in a little bag and give them to him to take home. Peter's wife, we know these are her favorite things. We'll put those in a little sack too. So there was time for that after. But Mary, knowing all the things that were going on, intentionally stopped and took the most important thing first. She listened to Jesus and his words so she would know how to honor God and how to please him later. She didn't say, I was too busy for us. I like this cartoon. Church work is getting me down. I think I'll focus on Jesus for a while. I like that. There is much good in the world. If you don't think there's much good in the world, walk around Costco with a couple dollars in your pocket. There's much good in this world. But there is little that is best. Is Costco open right now? I don't know if they're open Sunday mornings. I used to joke with people because I'd talk to people, why haven't we missed your church last Sunday? And they said, well, and they would tell me something they did. And I said, isn't that place open the rest of the week too? Yeah. And I said, well, I don't have Tuesday at 10 o'clock service, so think about coming here first. We need to focus on the best. God and his word for us over other things that are merely good. And instead of feeling proud for accomplishing tasks, Jesus, look, I organized all these things. Jesus, look, I put all these things. Jesus, sometimes it's good to stop and just listen. And I find that sometimes I'll sit down, I'll read, I'll look, and sometimes it's a good thing to just kind of reflect on things that are written so God can give me, you know, peace or whatever other things I need. People are looking for a lot of things today. The contrast with Mary and Martha is that, what is the best thing I can do? And Martha was, I can do things to help Jesus. And if Jesus is there, the first thing we want to do is absorb what he is saying and doing. Absorb that first. And then, how will Jesus lead? How will Jesus guide? Believe it or not, after several years of American, and I use the big word religious for everything that has to do with things that are spiritual in any sense. Recently, in the United States, after there being a general decline in what people will call spirituality, there's recently been a brief uptick. And sociologists notice this because of how they describe it and how they would define it. I would not say it's an uptick in religious activity, but they would. Because according to an article, recent article in the New York Times, and I couldn't find the date, but it was this year, perhaps the 21st of July, but I couldn't find this article online. It says there's plenty of evidence to indicate that the religious mind is very active in the United States. How do people describe the activities of the religious mind in the United States? Consider, this is from the New York Times article, consider 30% of Americans report they have felt contact with someone who has died. Nearly 20% believe they have been in the presence of a ghost. One-third of Americans believe that ghosts exist and they can interact with them, that they could harm humans. Two-thirds hold supernatural or paranormal beliefs of some kind, including beliefs in reincarnation, spiritual energy, and psychic powers. These numbers are much higher than they were previously when more people reported being highly religious. People who do not frequently attend church. People who do not frequently attend church are twice as likely to believe in ghosts as those who are regular churchgoers. Remember, I've said before that I think you can track demonic activity in this world. It's all by how it's marketed. As I go back to the article, the less religious people are, and in this case, the less they go to church, the more likely they are to endorse empirically unsupported ideas about UFOs, intelligent aliens monitoring the lives of humans, and related conspiracies about a government cover-up of the phenomena, aka X-Files, in reality. We people will do almost anything but believe the truth. Mary and Martha illustrate to us that if you're not sure what to do, listen to, cling to Jesus' words, and even absorb the words, spend time with them, look at them, read them, pray. Sometimes it's better to stop and read than it is to do something. You know, I mean, if somebody's got a problem, stop, pick them up, help them. We just had the Good Samaritan is the point. But if you're not sure what to do, whether it's in a book or in glass, read some Bible for a while and reflect. Because this seems to be something that we don't do enough of. Because the Word of God is supposed to be swift and powerful in our lives and able to approve us, reprove us, rebuke us, correct us, instruct us how to live rightly in God's eyes. So if we need help with any of those, and if you're like me, I need help probably in all those areas, the way to handle that is to look in the Word and see what God can do if we give Him control of our, as they said, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. God, help us, we pray, to honor You. Help us, we pray, to reflect on what You tell us. And with all the other words that blast their way and sit around us as landmines, help us, we pray, as Mary did, to choose to expose ourselves to Your truth for a while and let it soak into us so we can find peace, we can find guidance, and we can give You praise. In Jesus' name, and everybody said,